Good evening, good morning, everyone. My clock's obviously round the wrong way this morning. A warm word of welcome to each and every one to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out. And we do pray that the Lord will richly bless us and richly even draw near to us, and we'll feel a real sense of his presence amongst us even today. Those that are joining with us in the online ministry as well, we do extend to you a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name. Just go through the announcements at this time. Can we mention tonight that our service is at the earlier time of 6:30. We do remind you of that change. God willing, it's only for the 1 week, just to tie in with these regulations. But 6:30 this evening will be our praise service to give thanks to the Lord, even for what he has done for us over 2020. And the prayer time has been moved forward as well. It will be at 6 p.m. here in the main building. We encourage God's people even to gather together and to pray with us and to pray for us this evening as we minister in God's word. And do make that effort to come back, even as there will be the reports on behalf of our media team, our Sunday school, our children's meeting, and our youth work of the church. Then Wednesday night is our deputation meeting on behalf of the Reverend Philip Gardner from Perth in Australia. As we mentioned last Wednesday, due to the current issues there are in terms of travel, the Reverend Gardner and his wife and family have been unable to come home. But the Mission Board have prepared a deputation video on their behalf, and it's being spread around our congregations. And we are endeavouring to show that this Wednesday evening. And at the earlier time, can we say as well, the prayer meeting's been moved forward to 7 p.m. And if you can be here for 7, we'll have hymn to start with, a short reading, and then we'll show that video on behalf of the Reverend Gardner, and then we'll have a time of prayer together. There will be an offering afterwards as well for the Reverend Gardner and his family and that work in Perth. Then next Sunday, the services at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. I'll be here in the morning to bring the motto text for 2021. And then in the evening time, we're having a special testimony meeting. My mother is coming to testify. She was due to come at the start of December, but we had to cancel it due to the closure at that time. And she's coming next Sunday evening to give a word of testimony of how the Lord saved her and how the Lord has kept her. And so we do invite and encourage each one to make that effort to come to the services both morning and evening. And can we also say in the evening time, there will be an extended time of prayer. As a session, we met earlier in December to discuss our plans and the various meetings for 2021. And as you know, we usually have a full week of prayer in the month of January, but due to the current issues and the crisis with COVID and the meetings together in church, it's unwise to have a meeting after meeting, night after night in the church. And so what our plan is to have extended times of prayer every single Sunday evening in the month of January. There are 5 Sundays in January, and so every Sunday from 6 to 6:50 here in the church, we're encouraging God's people to come and to pray for 2021, for the Lord's blessing and for the Lord's hand, and even for his revival power to come upon the congregation, the church, the minister, each and every member, and indeed then a spiritual awakening in our land, how much we need the breath of God. And may I encourage you even and put that effort even in your hearts and that desire in your hearts week by week over the month of January to come and to join with us for these special times of prayer. Just a few other of announcements at this time. As I said, the Clocker Valley history book has been published, and those that ordered it apart from one have received it, because I got the list then and I forgot to write everyone's name down. And if you ordered a copy of Clocker Valley's Free Presbyterian Church History, their 50th anniversary, if you ordered a book and it's not in your pew, I have it and I can't remember which one ordered it. So if you ordered it, please do mention to me, and then that book will be got to you very quickly. There are calendars in your pews this morning in the white envelopes, those that were distributed around the area just on Wednesday and Thursday. We thank those that were able to come and help. And there are some more in the front porch. If you have any neighbours or friends that you would like to give a copy of the calendar to, just lift one as you leave in the front porch. The one that's in your pew is for yourself, if you wish, for your own house. And it's there for you. On behalf of Trinitarian Bible Society, we thank you for your giving at that deputation meeting the other Wednesday evening. A total of £220 was lifted, and then we sent on a cheque to Trinitarian Bible Society of £280, because usually we give an expenses fee to the man who comes, but he declined it, and so we says, well, put it in along with the offering of the church, and so £280 was sent to Trinitarian Bible Society from the congregation here, and we thank you sincerely for that. Can we also just at this time extend our Christian love and sympathy to two families in our congregation who have been bereaved over this last week. We do extend sympathy to Mr. and Mrs. Robbie Kyle on the passing of Robbie's sister on Wednesday morning, Emily Gillespie, and also on Wednesday Robbie's cousin passed away over in Scotland, and we do pray for them that the Lord will sustain them and strengthen them at this time. We also extend our sympathy to Mr. and Mrs. Ivan Morrison. Their Ivan's uncle passed away and was buried yesterday, and then we got a phone call last night. His sister that we had been praying for here in the congregation, she passed away. She went downhill very quickly and passed away last evening. And we do sincerely pray for them in these days that the Lord will be with them, the Lord will uphold them, the Lord will strengthen them, and even through the passing of these family members in both families, that the Lord will even use it to draw others onto himself in salvation. Can we also at this time mention to you to continue to remember Dr. Lindsay Wilson in your prayers, that the Lord will be with him. He's having to take time off from his pastorate and his ministry in Castledurg due to a health issue. We do pray that the Lord will quickly even restore him to full strength and health, that he'll be able to join and be back in that ministry and in that pulpit very soon. And just at this time, as we come up to the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, we do wish each and every one a very happy and a very blessed new year. We do pray that the Lord's blessing and presence will be with you throughout 2021, and you will know his help, you will know his leading, and you will know his guidance even upon you in the year to come. We're going to commence with the hymn 65 as we worship the Lord this morning. The hymn 65 you'll find in the page 202. Fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullness divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. We're going to remain seated as we open our hymn singing unto the Lord this morning.
Wonderful.
Let's stand as we unite our hearts in prayer, please, as we come before the Lord. As always, we need his help and his blessing, his presence with us. Let us be praying to that end, that our hearts will be touched even as we draw near to the Lord. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come to thee in this, the final day of this year. And O God, we're so thankful once again to be able to join together in thy house. We're so thankful, O God, for thy many blessings to us throughout this year and indeed today. Lord, that we can lift our Ebenezers, we can rejoice in the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God, which has followed us each and every day of the year. We thank thee, O God, that we are here in thy house. We thankful, O God, that we have the freedom and we have the joy of coming to this house with thy precious word in our hands, coming to this house that is thy house, coming to meet with the master of it. And O God in heaven, we pray that thou will have brought each and every one of thy people here in the spirit of the Lord, that we will worship thee this day in spirit and in truth. O Father, we are so thankful for this thy day. We are so thankful for the first day of the week, that day when our Lord and Savior rose from the grave. He ascended on high, and he's seated at thy right hand. We're so thankful, O God, for our Savior, the one who gave himself, the one who became that curse for us, for that cursed man to hang upon the tree. We're thankful, O God, he bore thy wrath for us. He bore our punishment for our sin, and he took it all, and yea, he filled it all. And we thank thee, O God, this day that there's nothing left for us. There's no punishment, there's no condemnation to each and every one who is found in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we come to thee this day rejoicing. We come to thee this day rejoicing in the peace that we have with Almighty God. We have peace with thee through our Savior. We thank thee this day, O Lord, that we can approach thee. We can come into the throne room of heaven. We can have even this audience before the great throne on high. We rejoice that we're coming before a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment for the child of God, but rather we're coming to the place of grace this day. We're coming to that throne that is placed upon redemption ground. And O Father in heaven, as we have gathered, and even now as we're seeking thy face in prayer, Lord, we simply ask that thou wilt draw near to us, that thou wilt bless us, that thou wilt look upon us, that thy face will be shining towards us this day, that as we read thy word and as we study it together, O Lord, that thou wilt even come, that thou wilt bless each and every one. Bless those that are listening in as well. O Lord, thou knowest those that are unable to be with us due to circumstances, due to health issues. Lord, we think of each one that thou wilt be near to them and bless them. We remember those in our church family that are mourning at this time. O Lord, that thou wilt draw near to them. Remember the Kyle family. Lord, we pray for thy blessing and thy presence to be with them. We pray that thou wilt encourage them, that they will find their comfort even in thee. Lord, we pray as well for the Morrisons. Lord, we think of those in that family that are mourning at this time, that are grieving, Lord, over the suddenness even of the passing of Ivan's sister. Lord, undertake. Lord, speak to both families, those that are not saved within them. Oh, that they will number their days, that they will prepare to meet their God. Lord, salvation is only found in thee. Oh, that thou will come to even home in such a way to strike even into the hearts of men and of women, of young people, that there is a God to meet, and they must prepare to meet him. O Lord, comfort, bind up the brokenhearted, we pray thee. Lord, presence thyself in those homes. May they find even the Spirit amongst them and the Spirit with them. Lord, undertake for both families, we pray. Lord, remember our church as a whole. Remember each and every one, each and every family, every individual. Lord, encourage them and be with them and bless them. As this year draws to a close, Lord, we are so thankful for watching over this congregation. We're so thankful for keeping thy hand upon each and every one. Lord, we pray even as we enter into a new year that we will know a greater sense of thy blessing, a greater sense of thy nearness, a greater sense, O God, of the Spirit of God upon us and the Spirit of God even working in this area. We're thankful for what thou hast done. But Lord, we realize and acknowledge that thou art able to do greater things than even this. Thou art able to give us much more than this. O Lord, we just pray and that we look to thee, that even in 2021, that a spiritual awakening will come upon our land, that men and women will turn away from sin, that men and women will stop trusting in horses, chariots, that they will stop putting their faith and trust in men, and that they will look upon the Lord, and that they will turn to Him, and their faith and their trust will be found in Him and in Him alone. Lord, bless each and every one. Those that are off at this time, we pray for rest to be given to them. Those that are, O God, even having this time together, Lord, bless each family, bless each individual. And Lord, those families that are still not united in Christ, Lord, another year is coming to an end. Children are still unsaved. Brothers, sisters, parents still out of Christ. O Father, we ask Thee that 2021, O God, will be the year when families are united in Christ, when children are saved, when parents are brought on to the Savior. O Lord, do it, we pray Thee. Glorify Thy Son through the salvation of many souls. Glorify Thy Son in breaking down the hardened sinners and melting their hearts. O Lord, come, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together our psalm, and we're coming today to Psalm 86. As we continue to go through them together as a congregation, the Psalm 86. And this psalm is entitled very simply, A Prayer of David. Psalm 86, we'll read the 17 verses together. Commencing at the verse 1, Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me, and comforted me. Amen. And what wonderful words even David is bringing in that prayer to the Lord. What a great God, full of mercy and grace, he is even towards his people. We're going to sing one more hymn just before we come to the preaching of God's word this morning, the hymn 364. 364, peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding, my portion shall be, Jesus my Savior is precious to me. 364, please. And let's open our Bibles in Luke's Gospel and the chapter 2. Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 2. We said the other week that this morning we would be looking at the man Simeon. The man Simeon. And then this evening time in our praise service, we're going to be looking at the meaning of life. The meaning of life. But this morning we're focusing our attention upon Simeon. And so we're going to read Luke's Gospel chapter 2, the verse 21. We're going to begin at. And then we'll read down to the end of verse 35. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 2, the verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. And may the Lord once again bless the reading of his infallible truth to each and to every heart. Let's just stand and change our positions for a moment as we look to the Lord for his help and for his even speaking voice to each heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to thee at this time, O God, with thy word open before us, thankful once again that we have the opportunity to hold thy word in our own hands, to be able to read it together. And Lord, even now as we come to the preaching part of the service, we do look to thee that thou wilt open up each and every heart, that thou wilt unstop every ear, that thou wilt give us that due attention even to thy word. Take away any distracting thoughts, that as we come to consider this portion that we have read together, that it will be the voice of God that each and everyone hears today. Lord, touch my lips, touch my heart, empty me of self and of sin, and fill me with thy Spirit. O God, come and breathe upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, the scriptures are many examples of men and women who lived God-honoring and God-glorifying lives. If you were to break these people into two categories, you could split them into major and to minor characters in relation to how much coverage they have in scripture. Now, of course, no one receives more coverage than the God-man himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to add up all of the passages of Scripture, both in the Old Testament, whenever Christ is prophesied, and you think of the Christophanies as well, the appearances of the Lord before his incarnation, then you add in all of the four Gospels, You add in everything that comes in the epistles afterwards in relation to Christ, there is no one who receives more coverage in the scriptures than the Lord himself. Christ is mentioned continuously. But there are other major characters, both in the Old and the New Testament. We can think of men such as Abraham, Moses. We can think of Isaiah, Jeremiah. We can think of King David. And in the New Testament particularly, we think of the Apostle Paul. All major characters in terms of their coverage within the pages of Scripture. But then on the other side of the aisle, as it were, you have a group of individuals who would be deemed minor due to their limited coverage within the Scripture. Abel's life is found in a very small part of Genesis 4, and then one verse in Hebrews 11 in the verse 4. Enoch's life, his entire life, is condensed to just 6 verses in Genesis chapter 5. Even though his life lasted for 365 years, yet all of that life, all of those years that he was upon this earth, is condensed just to that tiny little portion. In reality, you could condense Enoch's life down to even just 4 words. Enoch walked with God. Jabez, another great example of a minor character. We read of Jabez in 1 Chronicles in the chapter 4. His entire life is covered in just 2 verses. In those 2 verses of Jabez's life, we learn that this was a man of great prayer. A man who knew what it was to seek the Lord in prayer. A man that knew what it was to pray much and to believe much in his prayers. And to even put that emphasis upon the Lord and to pray the great prayers and to pray with expectation and with faith. Then as we move into the New Testament, we come across, particularly in this passage, there are 2 minor characters. You have Simeon and you also have Anna. These 2 individuals that come and meet with the Lord as he is brought into the temple at the age of only 8 days old. Minor character. One who has a total of just 11 verses. And yet at the same time, he is one who makes a significant contribution to the early life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 3 things I want to leave with you this morning in relation to this man, Simeon. I want you to see, firstly with me, the verses 25 to 27. You have the person of Simeon. The person of Simeon. The verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." This is the first and the only time that we meet with Simeon. Man whom we know nothing about in terms of his background, his family, where he came from. We don't even know what age he is at this stage. We don't know his social status. We don't know his career. We don't know anything to do with him until he comes and meets with the Lord. All that we are told and all that we are informed of is that which is found in verse 25. The same man was just and devout. He is just towards men, and he is devout towards God. And surely these 2 things must ever go hand in hand together in a Christian. One who is loving our God, and the other who is living for our God. Simeon, being just or righteous before the people, simply meant he was conducting his life in a God-honoring and a God-glorifying manner. He treated others with respect, regardless of who they were. Regardless of where he met them, he was never selfish, he was never rude, he was never cruel, he was never dishonest, he never did anything to further himself. We can think of others, of course, in the New Testament that were constantly dishonest. Tax collectors in particular, you think of Zacchaeus. Now he robbed the people, he stole from them when collecting their taxes. Whenever he was brought to faith in Christ, then he confessed it and he says, "I will repay. And I will give my half of my wealth to the poor, and then I repay fourfold." But Simeon certainly was not a dishonest man. He never sought to gain favor with others for his own personal gain. He never sought to financially improve his own standing by belittling or taking away from others. He was a just man. The testimony that others would have in relation to him was nothing but good. Now I wonder today what our testimony is before others. I wonder how we conduct ourselves outside of these walls. I wonder as we go from place to place, as we're in our jobs, as we're even integrating and being with society and in the community, what the reputation, what the testimony of our lives is before others. What impression does the world have of us? Is it positive or is it negative? Does it shine a positive light upon Christ? You see, whenever individuals know that you are a Christian, whenever individuals know that you're a follower of Christ, then they will watch you, they will take note of you, they will have that desire even to see how you live. To see, is there a change? To see, is there a difference? And I wonder then how your life speaks of Christ. You think of the words that are found in the book of Romans in the chapter 12. In the verses 17 and 18 of Romans 12, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You know, sadly, there are occasions when the world has a very negative opinion of Christianity because of a particular experience with a Christian. I have heard the response over the years that is made, if that's Christianity, then I want nothing to do with it. Because of how they've had interactions with those that are confessing and professing to be saved. Those that will never come near a church. Why? Because certain individuals in the church have been wronging them over the years. But I don't believe anyone would have been saying that about Simeon. If the Holy Spirit describes him as just, then he was just. Not only was he just before men, but it told us also there in verse 25 that he's devout. He's devoted to the Lord. He's one who gave himself to the study of God's word. He's one who gave himself to the place of prayer. He's one who gave himself to the worship in God's house. The fact that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel shows his eternal hope is in the coming Messiah. He knew he needed salvation. His faith and his trust was grounded in Christ. The Son of God would come. The Son of God would die upon the cross for his sins. Now you think of all of those years of waiting. As I said, it doesn't tell us what age Simeon is. Many believe he was an elderly man. Many believe he was in his twilight years of life. And all of those years since the Holy Spirit came upon him, all of those years since his conversion, since his realization that he needed to be saved, since his realization and understanding that there would come a Messiah to die upon the cross for him, all of those years of waiting, he never gave up. He never turned away from the Lord. He never turned to any other cult or religion. Even though the Romans invaded, even though they brought their whole pantheon of gods with them and they sought to indoctrinate the people, they sought to force their own religious views, their own cult, all of those false gods of Jupiter and all of Saturn and all of the different ones that Rome had, even though all of that's coming upon them. Even though on the other side you have the Pharisees and they're seeking to bring in all of their works of righteousness, all of their burdens upon the people, Simeon never turned. Simeon never gave up. Simeon had that Spirit of God. It tells us even in those following verses. He's there. The Holy Ghost is upon him. 25. It's revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. 26. He came to the temple by the Spirit. 27. His whole life is controlled by the Holy Spirit. regardless of what was going on around him, regardless of the other influences, regardless of the public sway and the public opinion, regardless of how much push and how much pressure was upon him, the Holy Spirit had his life. And only the Holy Spirit. And day after day, week after week, yea, even as 1 year turned into the next, he's still waiting for the coming of Christ. He's still waiting for the coming or the consolation of Israel. He never loses hope. No, surely the application is there for us all. We see how many false religions there are today. See the rise of atheism. Rise of secularism. We see all of the different agendas that are being pushed upon individuals, and not all of that public and all of that media sway and push and everything is seeking to drive people to conform to the ideologies of others. All of that desire to indoctrinate and to turn everybody away from truth. I wonder today, are we still devoted to the Lord? I wonder today, does the Spirit still have that reign and that control over our lives? That even though it's pushed and it's pushed and it's pushed and it's pushed, and I wonder, is it still the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Wonder today, are we as steadfast and as unmovable as we once were? Are we still upon Christ the solid rock? Knowing that within us all other ground, all other religions, all other teachings, all other ideologies, all of them are sinking sand. Are we still standing four square upon Christ? You know, I heard even just yesterday, the other day on the radio, there was the morning thought for the day. And it was about the incarnation of Christ. And the individual that they had on doing that devotion, that thought for the day, it's basically said everything that's recorded of the coming of Christ, where he was born, where he was led, well, that's all just rubbish. Just throw it out. They sought to come on the radio and say, he wasn't laid in a manger. They were born, he was born in a member of Joseph's family's house. In other words, this book, it must be lies, just throw it out. My friend, this book is truth. And every promise in this book has never changed. There's not one promise, there's not one word in this book that has ever been refuted or has ever been proved to be false, to be lies, or to be discredited in any way. Simeon, with all of those interactions, with all of that push, with all of the influences from all sides, Simeon's eyes were upon one thing and one thing only. Consolation of Israel. The coming of Christ. I've already mentioned it briefly, but I go on to just look at it just for a moment longer this morning. One other characteristic of Simeon's, that influence in him, the Holy Spirit. As I said, 25, 26, 27, it just keeps bringing us back to the Holy Spirit. He's taught by the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. The Spirit teaches him of Christ. The Spirit leads him to Christ. It's a wonderful interaction. It's a wonderful even insight into the energy, into the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent forth by God to draw us only to one person, to the Savior. The Holy Spirit will never take you away from Christ. The Holy Spirit will never take you to any other religion or any other teaching. The Holy Spirit will only ever bring you to this book and to the one Savior. He indwells and he infills us. He leads us, he guides us, he instructs us. He illuminates the page even when we read it. He lightens it. He teaches us from it. He shows us and causes us to understand. He helps us in our prayers, Romans 8 tells us. He enables us to draw closer to the Lord, to worship the Lord. You think of John there in the Isle of Patmos. It tells us, Revelation 1 and 10, he's in the Spirit of the Lord. It was when he was in the Spirit of the Lord that that vision of Christ came to him. He wrote that book of Revelation. And so too here, Simeon, it tells us that particular day, the eighth day since Christ's birth, Simeon's brought to the temple by the Spirit. He's not there because everyone else is going. He's not there because, well, it's another day, I might as well go to the temple. He's there because the Spirit brought him. See, the Holy Spirit never leads you to the world. You can never say the Spirit led you into sin. The Lord said in John 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll never take you to error. Brings us to truth. And so, child of God, this morning, let us be like Simeon. Just and devout. Led by the Spirit. The person of Simeon. Then secondly, I want you to see with me the verse 29. I want you to see the peace of Simeon. The peace of Simeon. The verse 29, Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. See Simeon here, this man. We see a man who's completely at peace. He has peace of mind. He has peace of heart. Because he has peace with God. This was a man, as I've said, who loved the Lord and who lived for the Lord. He was a man who enjoyed the rich blessings of the Lord. He cherished the promises of God. He held on to them tightly. Now that he has seen his Savior face to face, now that God has fulfilled the promises, now that God's word has been fulfilled even before him, Simeon says, I'm ready to go. He's no fear of what's ahead. He's just simply standing there holding that babe in his arms, and he says, Lord, let us die, thy servant depart in peace. You know, it's a very somber, but yet a very sweet experience to be at the deathbed of a saint of God. Say near the end of life's journey, to see them in peace. For them to be able to look into your eye and to hold your hand. To say, I'm ready to go. No fear. No worry. No distress. Just full and perfect peace. And that peace the world can't give. That's peace that only God can give. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Simeon's standing there with that babe in his arms. He says, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. You think of the words of the angels to the shepherds. They sang that song even to them of the coming of Christ. What did it bring? Peace on earth. You think of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9 and 6, one of the names of Christ. What is it? The Prince of Peace. Now I wonder today, are you at peace? you peace with yourself? Have you peace with others? Have you peace with God? If today was your last day on earth, and you weren't going to see tomorrow, have you peace in your heart? Are you ready to go? I believe it's, some people say, well, there's this and there's that. It's yes or no. You're either ready to go or you're not. There's difference between wanting to go and being ready to go. Some people might say, I don't want to go just yet. I want to see something yet happen. The question is, are you ready to go? See, if you answer no to that question, the reality is this, you're not saved. If you've never prepared to meet God, then there is cause to have great fear in your heart. You ought to fear death. You ought to fear hell. If you're not ready to go, you have no hope, you have no assurance. Let me therefore highlight to you the great need to come to Christ. As I've said, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one that came and brought peace to earth. He's the only one that can comfort. He's the only one that can calm the heart, can calm the soul. Without Christ in your life, you have no hope. You have no peace. Therefore, I plead with you this morning, you need to repent of your sins. You need to come just as you are. You need to come accepting. You need to come believing that Christ is the only one that can take your sins. That Christ is the only one who can cleanse you of your sins. That Christ is the only one who can enter in and can give you peace. You see, it's only Christ that removes the sting of death. It's only Christ who gives the victory over the grave. It's only Christ who takes away the fear of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now what David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You think how much of David's life was spent in danger. Think how many battles he faced, how many times he was on the run. You think of all of the persecution, all of the hardship, the attacks that were against him. And yet he said, yea, though I walk through the valley. My, for him it was a long valley. And yet he said, I will fear no evil. Simeon had peace. Whatever age he was ready to go. The person of Simeon, the peace of Simeon. Then thirdly and finally, the verses 30 to 32 and then 34 and 35. I want you to see the prophecy of Simeon. The prophecy of Simeon. Just read verse 30. In verse 31 it says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, the verse 32 also, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know these words of Simeon as he holds the Savior in his arms. Many have taken to be another Christmas carol, just like that which was sung by the angels outside of Bethlehem. It's a song of praise as well as prophecy. For Simeon, as he holds that little one in his arms, he's full of rejoicing, he's full of joy. He knows why this babe has come. He understands what must happen in this little one's life That spirit that was controlling his life, leading, guiding him and bringing him to the temple, that spirit had revealed to him through the word, this is what this babe has come for. Not just born to give joy into a family. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's interesting, you know, because you consider before the coming of the Lord, before the angel had appeared unto Mary and unto Zacharias, there's 400 years of silence. Whether or not Simeon had ever heard a sermon is highly doubtful. But he had the word of God. I believe he read it. The Spirit gave him understanding, opened his eyes, opened his heart. Yet even though, quite possibly and quite likely, Simeon had never heard a sermon, never had an end times or a prophetical sermon preached about the coming of Christ, yet in these verses which follow, as he holds the Lord in his arms, in verse 30, he prophesies that salvation is of the Lord. Verse 31, he prophesies of the covenant of grace which was in place between God the Father and God the Son. Verse 32, he prophesies of the outreach of the gospel that was for both the Jew and the Gentile. Yes, he highlights and he says, this Christ is the light. He's the only ray of sunshine. He's the only ray of light and of hope in this heathen and pagan world. You consider all that darkness and the wickedness of the Gentile nations up until this point. Through the Old Testament, you think of the pagan sacrifices, offering up of their own children, burning and destroying everything. And yet Simeon, as he holds that little babe in his arms, he says, this child is a light even to shine into the Gentiles. He also prophesies of the place of Christ in the gospel. You look at verse 34. It says, behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising again of many in Israel. That word set speaks of Christ, and it shows Christ as being the cornerstone. You see, without Christ, there is no gospel. Without Christ, there is nothing. Without Christ, there is no rock. He's set for the falling and for the rising again of many in Israel. See, when you break that up, even and you think of the falling and you think of the rising, the falling speaks of stumbling. To some, the rock Christ Jesus is a stumbling block, and they fall. To others, he is the sure foundation in which to stand and in which to rise. Peter explains that in 1 Peter 2 in the verses 6 to 8. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were pointed. In verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. See the difference between those that believe in Christ and those that don't? Those that their hearts and their eyes are opened, they stand upon Christ. He is their rock. He is their surety. He is their foundation. On Christ, the solid rock, they stand. To others, they trip over, they fall, never to rise. In And here in this passage, as Simeon stands before Joseph and Mary, these words that he says to them, as it tells us, verse 33, they're marveling at what he's saying. But you see, to Simeon, Christ was everything. To Simeon, Christ was his Savior, his sure foundation, his hope, his joy, his glory, his peace. Now I wonder this morning as we close, what is Christ to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your hope? Your foundation? Is he your love, your joy? Or is he the stumbling block that you trip over as you find yourself in the darkness of sin? Oh, my friend, this morning, if Christ isn't your all in all, then you don't have anything at all. You've nothing if you don't have Christ. Simeon had everything. Simeon had the Lord. Why, what a blessing it was for him even to be able to hold his Savior in his arms in that way. To be able to look into his face. Wonder today, will you ever see the Lord Jesus face to face as your Savior? So you'll either see him as your Savior who welcomes you home, or you'll see him as your judge. And he'll be seated upon the throne, and you'll hear those words depart. The face will be set against you, and there won't be any love or mercy, but rather the look of judgment as you're sent into everlasting torment and hell. But for Simeon, Simeon had peace. Oh, that each and every one of us today as we leave this building will have peace in our hearts. Not the peace that the world seeks to give, but the peace that the Lord only gives. The peace and the joy and his presence with us. Let's bow as we close in prayer. As I said, do remember the service tonight's at the earlier time of 6:30. Love to see you once again gathered with us to the house of the Lord. Father in heaven, write thy word upon our hearts. We thank thee even for the testimony that this man, Simeon, was able to leave. Lord, a man that was controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. A man that the Holy Spirit even brought to the Lord himself. A man that they had that wonderful peace. Oh, Father, write thy word upon our hearts. We pray for each and every one that has heard thy word this day, whether here in the building or even online. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt continue to speak. If there be any listening in today, Lord, or here in this building that are still, Lord, in the darkened road to hell. Oh, Father, we pray that the light will enter into their lives today. Their hearts will be opened. Their souls will be saved. Oh, Father, bless us and be with us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this evening. And bring others with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.